Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everyone. Afternoon to those out east. Boy, I tell you what, listen to that last message from Sue and Rick. They're all talking about Wednesday night service, and Sue had listened to it four times and stuff. I was thinking, oh my God, what did I say on Wednesday night? I'll have to go back and listen myself. But praise God. Pleased that you can join us here today. You know, every day is a day that the Lord hath made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. So as we go forward here and sing these songs, let us do just that. Amen.
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 Now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are.
Give the Lord a cheer. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you now, right now. And Lord, I pray that each and every one who is hearing this message will keep the words of this song in their mind, because now is always the time to come unto you just as we are. Because you are a merciful, forgiving God who wants to inhabit our lives to the fullest and to move mightily through us to the ministering unto one another and to those that are without. So may we all come right now and just leave every other thing behind and not fret at all about any issues we have, because you are greater than them all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Such a sacred heart for such a wretch as I. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. For alas, indeed, did my Savior bleed, and did my Savior die? Oh, that He such a sacred heart for such a wretch as I. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I've got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. I'm abiding in the vine.
He's your Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to go over to 2 Timothy. I'm just going to do one verse. Some of you might know, I hit a little rough spot this week, a little bump in the road. At the time, it felt like a mountain in the road. And all of us run into rough spots from time to time. So I did something I hadn't done in a long time. I went up on top of the hill. For those of you who've been out here, you know the one I'm talking about. And I was up there for several hours, whining and complaining and crying. Finally, after about 4 hours, I got down to the question. Lord, what's the answer? What is the answer? The word I got back was, it's in my word. Where? I didn't get an answer, so I had to go searching. And a couple of different things came to mind, but this one really stuck to me. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can study to show yourself approved by reading and studying his word. You study to show yourself approved by doing what his word tells you. You study to show yourself approved by obeying not only the word of God, but those that he's put in authority over you. These are how you study to show yourself approved. And to be honest, I was running at about, one out of three. Praise God, the Lord is great. And Jesus is great. And I'm going to be running on all three. I'm going to be doing all three. And I realize that there is still fight on me, in me, as there is in all of us. We want things that we want that are not necessarily of the Lord. Or we think something should be done a certain way. But it may not be the Lord's way. It may be what we think is the right way. Without praying about it, without pushing it forward, without lifting it up in prayer, you will never know. You will think you are right. But if you study yourself to show that you're approved, that means that everything you do, every time you go out, even every time you read the word of God, you take it up in prayer to start. When you're going to read the Bible and study the Bible, you pray that he is going to bring to you the word that you need as you study it. If you've been sent out to do a task, you pray beforehand that he would show you the correct and pleasing way to accomplish that task. When you go out in the world, you pray that you can be an effective minister of the gospel, not only through your words, but through your actions, and that he would bring those who are in need to you. If you're all about you and all about your stuff, that ain't going to happen. And I fell off track because I wasn't focused on him. I allowed something to pull my focus away. And it was like everything fell apart because I lost the single purpose, which is Jesus Christ. I think we can all say we've been there. And for different ones of us, it takes different things for us to get refocused. And it's not always an easy thing to do. And it's interesting, all that time I was up on that hill whining and complaining, I was not praying. I was having a pity party in the sandcastle land. When I actually prayed, I got an answer within a few seconds. All the rest of that time was wasted. Although it was a real nice sunset that night. After I got the answer when I was waiting for. Where in your word? Jesus Christ is there for you. Always. Will you be there for him? Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Hope everyone is doing very well today. We got the paparazzi kind of roaming around here in the building. Well, you know, while you were speaking, Bob, you mentioned when the Lord sends us out to do a task, sends us out into the world to preach the gospel. And the main focus is Jesus Christ. Amen. Speaking of being sent out into the world to to preach the gospel. Now, there's going to be a lot of that, a lot more of that coming up here in the next few months, looking into next year, getting people prepared, getting the things that we need for folks to get out on the road and do a lot more of doing just that. And been thinking a lot about, you know, what's coming up and the preparation needed and the things that will need to be going on. And I mean, I don't know about everybody, but do we think of doing these things as simply a job? You know, this is something that the Lord has for me to do, so I'll do it. Or is there a real desire to want to do it? I mean, shrug your shoulders. Well, it's a job I need to do. Or is there a fiery desire to want to do the purpose of Jesus Christ and preaching his gospel? I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to start with verse 1. There's a particular verse I want to get to, which is at the end. I don't know. Read through the entire chapter or not. We'll see how it goes. So Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That was Paul's desire. The desire in his heart and his prayer was to see a people that might be saved. Now, Paul is particularly speaking of Israel here, but should we not have that same desire regardless of who people are? I mean, is that our desire? Is to see people through the gospel being reconciled unto God for Jesus Christ. And if that's, you find yourself not really having that desire, then ask the Lord to stir up that desire in your heart. Lord, please stir up that desire in my heart, that it is my desire to preach your gospel for the sake of people being saved. Because that is the whole point. Jesus Christ and what he did for that to happen. That is the whole point of the gospel and getting the gospel out there, preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel is for that point, to be saved. So it's not just a job. It's an adventure, right? Some knew that was coming. I wasn't sure that was coming, but that's where it ended up. Right or wrong, good or bad. There's a difference between doing a job because it's a job and having a desire to do it for a particular purpose. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Isn't that where people are kind of by nature is trying to establish their own righteousness? Being ignorant of God's righteousness. I mean, until we know better, without knowing God's righteousness, we're going to try to establish our own. And we have none. People won't know unless they hear. that is not the way it's going to happen. They are not going to be saved by their own established righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not about our own established righteousness. I mean, trying to earn our way into salvation by our goodness or our good works, that is not the way. It cannot be. Jesus already did the work. I mean, that frees us from a whole lot of bondage of trying to earn it, because we can't. Jesus already did the work. All we have to do is believe that he did that work already and confess. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I'm going to jump down a couple of verses. Well, I'm going to jump down to 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God has people to send out into the world to preach the gospel. How else are people going to hear? And if they don't hear, how will they ever know? How will they ever know that it's really about Jesus and not themselves? And how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace? Peace between us and God? I mean, is there anything more beautiful that a person could partake in than that? That should stir up quite a desire in the heart. To bring glad tidings of good things, the good news of what Jesus did, because we can't, and so we don't have to try to work that ourselves. The good news, the glad tidings of God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness and love and grace, all the things, the good things that the Lord has. That's the whole point of God sending people out to preach the gospel of peace. And that peace is between each one of us and God himself. It's not world peace where, you know, why can't we all just get along, and why can't the world just love one another and everybody gets along. I mean, people, it's funny, people have been fighting that battle for thousands of years. And it's kind of a funny way of putting it. We fight for world peace. Well, if people are continuously fighting for it, how will you ever have world peace? It hasn't worked in a few thousand years. I guess some folks expect maybe tomorrow's it will. But it would sure save a lot of people a lifetime of fighting for something that isn't the right fight. We need to make our peace through the gospel with God ourselves. Fighting for world peace and trying to find a way for the world to get along. I know a couple of people who are up in age, their 80s and 90s, still trying to figure out how to do that. They've been fighting their whole life trying to figure out how can there be a way to bring peace into the world among mankind. And all they have found is that they've spent their life doing it, trying to find a way, and they look back upon it and find themselves wore out, tired, completely exhausted, fighting their whole life only to look and see that the world is still in the same place. It's heartbreaking to see. And it's heartbreaking and discouraging to them. If only they knew, if someone had told them that the only peace they needed was between themselves and God and not worry about what the rest of the world is doing, they would have found themselves in a much different place at the age of 90. So take the opportunity to partake in what the Lord has when he brings up a people that he can use to go out into the world and preach that gospel of peace for the purpose of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Well, we'll just stay in Romans 10 for a moment. A couple things. First of all, people don't realize they're fighting for there, Carter, that you're talking about. It's the Antichrist spirit. They don't even realize they're operating under the Antichrist spirit. And one of the things that's going to come up under that Antichrist spirit is what's going to be the mantra before the Antichrist comes. Peace, peace. So they don't even realize it. So they're alienated from God. See, that's the part they don't realize. They actually think they are at peace with God. Why? Because they think they're doing good. It's others who are not that are the problem. See, and that was the same over here with Israel. See, in Romans 10, when Paul talks about, brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. All right? If you want to translate that into today, Paul would say, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the churches out here is that they might be saved. Isn't that something I've talked about here of late? Because who was it? Israel were the ones who were against the gospel, right? Chief opponents to the gospel. Why? Because they thought he was going to come in there and justify them. Instead, he manifested that they were sinners in need of a savior, just like had been promised to their fathers who were sinners. Think of it. Let's just look at it. You ever thought about, just take the 12 patriarchs, as they call them. You know, Reuben, Levi, you know, all of those guys, you know, the sons of Israel. Those guys weren't wrapped too tight, man. They most definitely were not wrapped too tight. I mean, they sell their brother into slavery. They go tell this other one, this guy who had basically raped their sister, but then they had made an agreement with he and his father that if their people would all be circumcised, that she could, they could have her to wife. And then while they were hurting, they went and killed them all. I mean, and Jacob's all up. They had to flee, and Jacob's saying, what have you done? And that's why they had to be separated. I mean, children sometimes have to be separated, don't they? God has done that a lot with his children, hasn't he? Because that's why Simeon and Levi are separated, is because of what they did back there. All right, they were not wrapped too tight. Were they saved because they had the law and they did? They were righteous? No. In fact, they didn't have the law and they weren't righteous. But it was an offense, just like it's an offense to the church. And Bob, what he was talking about here today, and look, what is going on right now with us as a fellowship is this. All right. There's been a day of reckoning occurring with each of us in our own individual lives. Why? Because there's been a promise that's been there for a long time for us to go forward as one in Christ. Amen? And the problem hasn't been with Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Is there any problem with him? Nope. The problem has been with us. And so the Lord's been drawing out what some of those things are. And when he draws out what some of those things are, frankly, our first reaction is, that's not me, Lord, you got it wrong. You know, we read these scriptures, we read these things, and this fellowship in particular has been blessed with a rightly divided word for decades. And that has set this fellowship apart. In that sense. But we haven't clave or joined or followed that. If you continue down here in Romans 10, just a moment from where Carter was, he says here in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. How is it that they didn't obey the gospel? Watch. It answers it in the very scripture. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? What did it say? Believe God and it would be accounted unto you for righteousness. What is it that the Israelites did not do with the gospel? They did not believe it, which was disobedience. Right? Isn't that what it was? It was disobedience. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that's that whole thing about out here preaching the gospel. There's not a Baptist gospel, a Catholic gospel, a Presbyterian gospel. There's one gospel. And see, God backs up his gospel by his power with his faith. And every promise of God is contained in his gospel. See, the reason why it's been out here and it's not been right and people's lives haven't changed, the nation, even though, look, I mean, even though the nation as a people in the United States here, there aren't nearly as many people who attend church as once did. That is a truth. All right? That is a truth. But that's not why the nation's in the state it is in. It's not because there's fewer people attending church. The reason why fewer people are attending church is because the gospel isn't being preached in church. I know I went 28 years without ever hearing the gospel. And I've been in a bunch of churches since then. And it's rare to find the gospel. You'll have people talk about Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you and all of this stuff. But do you hear people believe when it says over here where you read where it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Wait, where is it? Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. The power that raised Jesus up from the dead is absent in almost every gospel message I've ever heard. It's never present. It's the power that raised Jesus up from the dead that is given unto the church to transform our lives. It's the power of the gospel That means that we don't have to go about establishing our righteousness. We don't have to be good to do good. Because He is good and He will do it in and through each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, if we will but believe. That's it. See, and one thing I just want to put a little correction here. Little bit of correction. Carter was talking about a lot about going forth into the world, right? And he was talking about, you know, is that a burning heart's desire and everything? How about, is it a burning heart's desire to complete Corey's cabin in a perfect manner? Is it a burning desire to empty people's Blackwater tanks in a manner that's going to be a blessing to them and to everybody in the camp because you haven't spilled it and made a mess everywhere? Do you take those tasks and have a burning heart's desire to do those in Christ Jesus? Because if you don't, you're never going to be one who's going to go out here preaching the gospel, I can tell you. He says, if you can't be faithful in the little things, you're not going to be faithful in the great things. But he that is faithful in the little things will be faithful in the big things. And this idea of going forth, shoot, he didn't have to send them into the world. You know why? Where did they dwell? In the world. Where do we dwell? In the world. We don't have to be sent anywhere. See, the idea of being sent, and this is a big issue for folks, and I want people to think about this. When you look at the ideas, when I'm sent. Yes, if I go down to, you know, New Orleans carrying a cross to minister, or yes, when I go out with the revival tent, or yes, when I do, you know, get up on Sunday morning to preach, then yes, I'm now going to do it. Well, my God, do you realize how much of every moment of your life you have just given away and not brought under submission to the Lord? I mean, hello? We dwell in the world. We don't have to be sent anywhere to do it. We get to do it every day, all day long. And if we can't do it in the little things and do those things faithfully, then I can tell you he's not going to entrust unto you the true riches. And I know he wants to entrust unto you the true riches. I know he wants to entrust each and every one of you who are part of this fellowship. I was talking with Bob and Cheryl the other day, and Cheryl the day before too. And one of the things I was talking with them about is over in John 17, where Jesus is giving account. And he says, I have kept those that you gave me in thy word, and none of them is lost save the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And basically what the Lord has shown me, and this is, you know, where I have been operating, even though all over the place where I go and in everything, it seems like I'm having to bring up some hard things with folks. Every place and everywhere I've gone with a mission. I am not going to lose a one, Lord. I am not going to lose a one. And I'm going to keep them in thy word. What has been the focus of every discussion with every individual and every difficult thing that's come up? It has always been about the word. The word is what keeps you. The word is Jesus the Christ. He keeps you. And me, as I go forward out here, it's really about simply provoking you into that spot, bringing up the things that have kept you separated. Let's watch through. Let's read through here a little farther in Israel, in Romans chapter 10. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and the words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I wanted to get to that verse. I thought that was the one you were going to get to, Carter, when you said you were going to get to the end. I looked at it. I looked up ahead. I said, hey, you didn't get there. You stopped short of that, so I'll get there. Thank you. You left me something. But to Israel saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I want to read two other scriptures here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm going to read. Let's see. Is that it? Nope, that's not it. I don't think that's it either. There it is. So I'm going to move. Ta-da. I found it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We actually did a revival down in Springfield, Vermont, 10 years ago. I don't know. It was a long time ago now. I can't remember. In which we focused on this scripture relating to ourselves. Well, the truth of the matter is we hadn't really gotten it fully. And so the Lord has been bringing things up to bring us to the place where we fulfill that scripture. What was it that he said? And this is what he's talking about over in Romans 10, the same thing. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, again, has nothing to do with anybody other than Christians, shall humble themselves and pray. So humble themselves. As Bob said, he was up there whining and crying for a few hours. And then when he prayed, the answer came quickly. Right? See, the place where humility finally set in was when he prayed. All the other stuff was not about humility. It was the whining and crying about Bob. Just how we are. I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. See, Bob, God, the Lord said it's in my word, right? Isn't that what the Lord said to Bob, what he was testifying? And so then what did he do? He sought in that word where the answer was and turned from their wicked ways. That was the several hours of complaint and all the other things that went on before, right? That's what you have to do. You have to turn from your wicked ways. Biggest wicked way, unbelief. Biggest wicked way. What did they say? They did not obey the gospel. Why? Because they did not believe the report. Why is it this our fellowship hasn't gone forth yet? And we are close now, folks. So don't get me wrong. I mean, I can taste it. But the reason why for all these years we haven't is what? We did not believe the report. Right? Isn't that what it basically comes down to? Did not believe the report. And it says, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I began this morning when we sang that first song. I talked about how now, truth matters. Keep that word right in front of your face. The God, Jesus is a God of the now, always. You're going to leave this place. We might everybody be focused on the Lord at this moment in this service. And then I'm going to watch as people step outside. And what happens? People go back to their own ways. They relax. They go back to doing their own thing and the like. And then all of a sudden something happens. Somebody says something. Something hits you upside the head and you're provoked and you're like, oh, crap. I wasn't supposed to be doing that. I'm supposed to be doing this. I was all caught up in myself. I went ministering to my brother or my sister or whatever here. And you have the realization, and then you have the condemnation of, I'm such a jerk, and why am I this way? And, oh, no. Forget all of that nonsense. Forget it. It is completely unprofitable. Yes, are you going to do what I just said? Yeah. But when you realize it, now is the time to come. Now. Okay, Lord, I apologize. Focus on what it is before you, and the Lord will be with you by his grace. He will be. He's always right there. You don't have to go do 16,000 things to correct everything to begin right now, ever. You don't. You just have to choose them. And as you do, sure, there may be things that he might work out in your life. Yeah, you know who's doing that? Him. You know why? Because you aren't capable of it. So he does it. So you yield. You yield to them. And you believe them. And you go forward. So yes, the Lord has been bringing us as a fellowship to a place where we recognize these things. All day long, he has had his hand stretched forth unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Gainsaying people are people who answer again. They have another idea every time you say something. Okay, now let me ask you folks. Does that describe you? Be honest. I already know the answer. Disobedient and gainsaying, right? Every instruction, there's another way. It's disobedient and gainsaying people. Guilty, right? But what did it say? All day long, in this sense it's Jesus, but he's had his stretched forth his hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What I want you to know is that, see, judgment begins first with the house of God. And it begins first with us because we have a mission to the body, the church as well, that is outside this fellowship. And we have to love them. We have to have the same kind of attitude that Paul had. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Was any of Israel saved through Paul's ministry? Yes. Yes. Were many not? Yes. But our heart's desire has to be for them. Has to be. We have to have compassion, having passed through the very same things that we're ministering unto them that they need to pass through. That's why we have to pass through it. We have to. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's beautiful for us. The Lord is working a mighty, extraordinary, beautiful work. We are becoming living sacrifices, right? We're giving up these things. And becoming living sacrifices unto Christ that we may make manifest that which is the perfect will of God. And we're going to be ministering unto people who believe they're just fine and they don't realize they're not. And we're going to have to love them like Christ loved them, reaching out that hand. And we have to go to those who have been alienated because they've seen us or them and not wanted any part. And go, I get it. I understand. I take no offense. Yeah, what are they going to say? Church is full of hypocrites. See? Yeah. But is it hypocrisy to acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior? Is that hypocrisy? See, the only reason why churches are hypocrites is because they think that they're righteous. And everybody can see, yeah, right. Divorce rate as high in the church as outside of the church. Homosexuality running rampant in the church like it is outside the church. Every wrong thing happening in the church as well as outside the church, right? What's the difference? The power of God is not present. But that's changing. It's changing right here with us. And as we go forward with all that we'll receive, it will change for them too. Amen? All right. May the Lord bless you, folks. We're going to sing a few more songs. Managed to finish on time. It's a miracle. It's the power of God.
Quiet hour I wait only for you.
Give the Lord a cheer. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Father, we thank you very much. We thank you for this day, and we pray, Lord, we thank you for your tender mercies and grace. And I ask, Lord, right now that you forgive us, a disobedient and gainsaying people, and have mercy upon us and just wash away that reproach. Just take it away. Take the sin away. Take the reproach away, Lord, as we now turn to you, and may rather all of that time and all of those things rather be redeemed by you to be a blessing to others, and may it glorify you and your abundant grace and mercy, that we may be transformed into those ministers of your gospel that you have called us to be and that the world so dearly needs. And we thank you for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, a cheer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, folks, we'll see you for those who are want to participate. We got our Sunday evening meeting this evening at 6 Mountain, 8 Eastern. If you don't know about it, get with Rick and he will send you the link. And may the Lord bless you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.